And thank you for joining us this evening for Between the Notes here. We are broadcasting live from the 88.5 KRFY studio, and I'm your host, Susie Prez. And again, thank you for joining us. You can sit back, relax, and be inspired as you listen to this interview and original music from local singer-songwriters Kevin Doran and Pete Hicks. They're my guests tonight as they share ideas, insights, and stories about their personal songwriting journey. So, Between the Notes opens an exclusive window into the creative process behind the songs. I want to welcome Kevin Doran.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you. And welcome Pete Hicks.
Hi, Susie.
It's great to have you. Get real close to that mic, Pete.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, so we're going to do a little exploring. You have your beautiful guitars in your hand. We're going to hear some music, your original songs, and your collaborative songs that you do together. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about, because we always have new listeners to Between the Notes, let's talk a little bit about the beginning of your musical journey. Usually it starts when you're children, somehow, some way. So we'll start with you, Kevin. When and how did music start? What were those early years like for you in the home as a child?
My mother played piano and was part of a church. So that was always, music was always there. And then my brother, he became quite a phenomenal musician, and he ended up getting a scholarship after high school to go to North Texas University in Denton, Texas, and study jazz bass. And so he'd always sort of, I felt, overshadowed me a little bit. And so I became a drummer and sort of left that, you know, melody-ish rhythm stuff to him. And I ended up breaking my back years later. Rupturing discs in my back, I should say, on Lake Pondere, actually. And so I stopped playing drums, and I was a studied drummer. I studied with a great teacher for about 12 years. And I applied that to playing guitar. So that's where I am now.
I always thought of the bass as a percussive instrument too. So, for your brother, is he still playing the bass?
Yeah, a little bit. Ironically, he left school early, because he decided he didn't want to be, bass teacher or a session bassist or anything. So he ended up just going back and getting an audio visual career. And then a friend of his, came by and said, "Hey, do you want to go to South by Southwest with us and play bass?" So he got to go full circle and play South by Southwest, which is just a little distance from Denton. So that was his dream ultimately, and he accomplished it in a completely different way.
So he's still playing music.
A little bit, yeah. Not often.
All right. So it was music in the home, mom in a choir, and then music with your brother, and you kind of got inspired that way.
Correct.
Okay. And Pete Hicks, how was it for you? When did music start, early years in the home as a child?
Well, my beginning with music also started in the church. I had a youth leader who always wanted to have a band, and so he picked out three of us in the youth group to start playing. And, I mean, I picked up a guitar when I was 13 for the first time, and by 14 I had written a whole album's worth of really bad songs. But that started, you know, just like the ability to pick up an instrument and start putting something out there, some of which you want back. But it's been a great journey. And so I've been writing songs. It was kind of writing songs was the beginning of my love for music.
Well, the good news is you may categorize it as bad album, but you were writing music. You're writing songs.
And it is documented.
I can say for sure a lot of those really popular songs or famous songs that we hear, it's just one song of a thousand that person wrote. So it has to start. And that exercise in writing is an important part of songwriting.
Absolutely.
I would think. So we'll stick with Pete for a minute. And you started writing songs and you had this bad album, we'll say.
I had lots of them in high school. I spent most of my free time recording music and writing music. And then when I got out of high school, I had a chance to go to India and play in a rock band there. So I'd improved some and toured around India for eight months. And I was born in India, so it was a chance for me to see the country. And I made a very good friend while I was there named Chris Hale. And out of that band in India, we started an Indian music band, a fusion with sitar and tabla. I played guitar. And we did that for 12 years. We toured around the world, and it was an amazing journey. And
Yeah. Is that the band you brought here to the Panada recently?
No, but it was during that time in 2003. I was in India taking lessons in Indian music. I took lessons from Partho Sarothi, and he is a super accomplished, top class Indian classical musician. And it was a real honor that he would come here to Sandpoint. And I was just, that was my connection, though, through the Indian music band.
Fantastic. And in those early years, what was your inspiration for this creative endeavor that you jumped into?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I love that life is constantly a series of creations, that you never repeat anything, even though it may feel like you're doing the same thing over. There are different things that are taking place. And I think, you know, I've always tried to write in journals and stuff. But I think it's mostly a documentation for my life, just as I go.
I like that thought. Let's switch back to you, Kevin. Kind of the same question. What inspired this movement and this creative endeavor that you took on, starting with drums, but now you hooked on to that guitar, and there's something that moves you forward?
I think it's the language of music and the connection I have to it. The ability to express things that I haven't been able to express, you know, either societally or through the English language. And there's a influence of mine. His name's Victor Woot, and he's a jazz player. And he does really great talks, if you can find them on YouTube or anywhere else, just talking about how people get into music. And he talked about how the language of music became, you know, so influential to him that he has to communicate that way, or he doesn't feel comfortable, you know, once you kind of dip your toe in it.
And I get that. And when you just mentioned expression, so it's a language of music that is, did you mention universal? But then there's this idea of expression, and there's so many different ways to express music. You want it to be authentic, and that's an evolving thing as a person grows and develops. So how does your expression of this phenomena called music come about? How would you describe it?
I think it's a little raw. That's something I've always liked in music. And as I've got older, I've got to appreciate it a little more. I call it the space between. That's my favorite part of music. I really love blues grooves, slow shuffles. So one of my favorite musicians, he plays just this really beautiful slow shuffle when you go to his concert, and he'll just be the only person playing the drums, and the audience after a little while starts to get it, but at the beginning they're like, what is he doing? And then they're like, wait, that's a human, you know? And so that's something I always try to incorporate into my songs, is some sort of rhythm or some sort of movement.
And who was this musician that was one of your favorites?
His name's Steve Jordan, okay. And he's played with like Eric Clapton, Aretha Franklin, Chuck Berry, John Mayer recently.
So he inspires you, but have you taken any workshops with him or studied with him?
I've studied. He has a wonderful DVD that's very expensive and I invested in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it made a difference?
Huge difference. And as well on some of my peers as well, who are learning drums as well, it's kind of like their Bible, so...
So you moved from the drums to the guitar, and how was that transfer? How did that transfer for you? Was it just a melodic transfer?
Hopefully well. I never really saw myself as a melodic person for whatever reason. You know, it's interesting, I think, and that obviously I think comes out of my songwriting too, is my self-perspective is something I'm striving for. And so when I hurt myself, I had to force myself into the... a different role than I normally would have. And I had a friend who used to sing with like Justin Timberlake when we were 12 years old. And he'd fly down from Calgary, Alberta in Canada, where I grew up. He'd fly down to Los Angeles or New York. And so I'd write songs with him. And I never really thought I would be the vocalist until I kind of got put in that position.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've talked a little bit. I don't like to go too far into a show like this, and this is Between the Notes, by the way, and you mentioned the pause between. I'm not sure exactly how you express that, but that's what this show is about. There is Between the Notes. What is going on with music? But it's time to hear a song, you guys. And why don't you tell us, whatever song you've chosen, whoever wrote it or who started the collaboration on the song, how it came about, because we're really exploring the songwriting process a little bit here, and a little bit about the song and the name and the title, and then let's hear it.
You want to get this one out of the way then?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. This this is a song that I wrote, actually, I think when I was about 17 years old.
This is Kevin Doran.
Yeah, so I've always been very influenced by the blues, and Eric Clapton was an early influence on me because of the way that he moves a note, the way he directs a note, can be so eloquent and so telling, like a voice. And so his playing Layla and such inspired this song. And then as far as me and Pete playing it together, he's just pretty much stepping up here and
we're 30 minutes
and filling in. Yeah, so but we are playing together this weekend, so it will be even better, hopefully.
A nice evening to practice in the studios of 88.5 KRFY.
Perfect. Exactly, no better place.
Is there a name to the song?
It's called Fugitive.
To go, I got a plane willing to take us down to Mexico. Baby, you don't need to get those shitterets, that is bad for you. Need as much of you as I can get, cause we are fugitives, girl.
Fugitives, played live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY, and this is Between the Notes, and we're here with Kevin Doran, who wrote that song, and his collaborative musical buddy, Pete Hicks, both playing guitars here tonight. That was a great song. I really see the rhythm influence in your music. You just kind of make it happen with a guitar.
Exactly. That's very well put.
So how was that? You said this song, you're just starting to play it together?
Yeah, Kevin, we've just played it together like one day here. So
yeah, and I was a bit out of tune. I'm sorry about that. I couldn't quite
It's the blues.
It's the blues. You're supposed to be slightly
in
out of
between
tune.
The notes. Right?
I was there.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what live in the studio interviews are all about, and it's just fine. One of the things that really kind of hit me with that is, Pete, you had a real kind of sense, since this is kind of a new song that you've taken up. And Kevin, did you just write this recently?
Oh, no, okay. Years and years
ago. It's
an
old song you've reinvigorated.
Many times.
Many times. Here's the new evolution of it. And Pete, how do you set yourself in that song?
You know, I really enjoy listening to Kevin. So, you know, when he starts to sing, I just try to listen to his melody, listen to the rhythm that he's putting behind it. And he plays a great guitar. I really enjoy your notes there in that one. And I just try not to get in the way. You know, there's a lot going on already. When you have talent in your fingers and talent in your voice, you just don't want to step on too many things there. So, yeah, and I really like the music. So just trying to feel it out step by step. And, you know, it is so new that I a little more timid than later in the game.
And later in the game, it may be very different
as you
play it. And that's one of the things I wanted to explore with you guys tonight is songs evolution. And we'll get into a little bit more of songwriting, but take that song, for instance. Right now, it's a finesse that you're looking for, Pete, as an accompanist to that song. Do you ever see what the future of a song is before you get there? I mean, do you have ideas that you're not actually trying yet, but you may think about as you're actually doing it? You could say, hey, I can hear a little bit more I could put into that. How's that work? I'm talking about collaboration here.
Yeah, for me, that's kind of rare. When I was in the Indian music band, Aradhana, the sitar player and vocalist would come. He'd just sing a melody, and basically I would start trying to figure out how to fit into that. And most of the time he'd start singing, and I had no idea what the rhythm was, you know, where he was going next. And so it was a very interesting journey, and I would, you know, just try to be quiet while he's doing it, and I'd hit a note that I like. Okay, all right, mark that one. And then, you know, through trial and error, basically at some point there's a backbone to the song. But yeah, for me, I don't foresee the end game too well, you know, and I don't want to. I kind of want to just walk it out as we go. A new instrument comes in, add something, and then I'd like to be able to respond to that rather than just be rigid. So it's fun. And that way, you know, too, that a song will never die if you just allow it to be new.
And that's kind of what we're experiencing here, because we don't know what's going to happen yet. a song does develop. And so it sounds like, Pete, that you've developed the fine art of response and accompanying a lot. But do you play your own?
To a certain extent, yeah.
Yeah, but do you have your own music too?
I do, yeah. Uh-huh. I've been writing songs again since I was 14. This song that I'm going to play, the chorus, I guess what I would call the chorus, came up only about 5 months ago, and it was a kind of standalone thing, but it caught me. I liked it a lot, and then it fused with a song that I started to write 3.5 years ago when I was living in Holland. And so I put the two together, and then I was like, oh yeah, that works. And so it's kind of fun that way too. You have I have, you know, lots of little ideas that, you know, I'll start something else and be like, oh, I actually started this song years and years ago.
Be great to hear it. And
this.
We're moving microphones around in the name of it.
I'm calling it Under This Sun. Under this sun, won't you pick back my love with your gun? For after all, we're 1,000 miles from home all alone. And would you point the way, the line of true north, true life, bring folks to the fray. Repeat the sound, spring rain all around my skin. Undone.
We've all opened doors. We've given keys to ghosts, driven hope down low. And what it's like I can't completely comprehend when all's not right. Still learning to pretend. So if there's more to say, go find a fragile voice or sing it out today. Hey, hey. Under this sun, won't you pay back my blood with your touch? For after all, we're a thousand miles from home all alone. Under this sun, won't you pay back my blood with your trunks? For after all, we're a thousand miles from home all alone.
Little song there. It seems like a very simple song with a really fun feel to it. That was Under the Sun, and that was Pete Hicks, an original song. So that leads me to both of you. This is a question. We'll start with actually Kevin Doran. And when you perform a song, this is you're bringing it out. It might be the first time you've performed it. It might be the 100th time. What do you hope or wish that your listener would experience or take away or get from your song? Or is it just, this is my offering and you don't think that?
I think like many of the questions you're asking, it goes many different ways and that's kind of the essence of it. But some of them for sure for me are when I was in a alternative rock band in Canada named Bigger Fish Than Guns, we played for, you know, clubs for 300 people, right? And you're trying to pack the club, you're trying to keep the energy up. So the goal there was definitely to make people move and make them dance and you know, maybe even make them bump into somebody and have a new friendship or something. But now I play a lot more introspective music, acoustic based music, and when I play around here, like in Idaho or Washington, the thing that really resonates with me is if I have somebody who almost seems like they get lost in the moment of something that I've written or something that I'm performing and covering. And in that, there's a inherent communication, I believe, that is far deeper than the vast majority of what I do with my day. So I pretty much live for that nowadays. And busking and playing farmers markets are some of the most wonderful places to come across that moment.
Oh, wow. That was a great answer. Very insightful, as you say. And Pete, how is that for you? Is there a wish for your listeners, or is it just an expression that you put out into the universe and there it is?
You know, I with my own music, you know, having toured with another band where I wasn't singing as much, I did do some singing. I kind of hunkered down and like got quiet with music. Even though I was touring, I was on a stage, and with my own music, I stopped kind of doing it for a long time and picked it up about 3 years ago. I get hung up when I start thinking about what people will take from it. I get nervous because I don't know how to communicate clearly. And it's something that I feel very deeply. I love writing the songs. I love singing them. But I can't account for somebody else and how they're going to take it. And I'm actually more interested in what people take away from a song than what I actually mean by it. And sometimes I learn what I mean by it by people reflecting to me what they hear.
So how do you find that out, what they actually take away from a song?
Well, you have to play it for people first, which is, it's good. We're playing on Saturday night, so that'll happen. We're playing here, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm. You ask, or someone will share what they got from a song.
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually go asking because I feel like that puts people on the spot to be like, oh, it's really great, or it's, you know, and I don't really want that. it just comes in time, you know, that I guess maybe I bring out something that I'm feeling about it, and somebody says, oh, when you say this, that makes me think of this. I think of more of my songs as kind of just trying to put out a landscape and go like, oh, it'll go somewhere, you know, and for each person, hopefully a little different place.
I think that's very true. And, you know, there's two aspects to songs that I experience. Sometimes the words just grab me and I'm in a thought, a mood, it takes me back, it puts me in the future, whatever. But a lot of times it's the melodic cadence, I call it, mm-hmm. that is like that last song, Under the Sun, had this kind of, I was thinking of children kind of skipping for some reason. It made me feel like dancing. I'll just say that. And a blues song like what you did, Kevin, was different. It made me get more introspective and kind of groove with the music a little bit more. So it can be either.
Right.
And sometimes it can be both together.
Yeah. I often think when Pete plays, well, it's not thinking, it's just kind of being. It's like a Bob Ross painting. You've seen Bob Ross? It's almost like he's painting a landscape.
The other day.
And that's what I really like about Pete's music, is I see a landscape in my mind, a storyline, and it leaves a lot of room, I think, for investing yourself in the song.
There you go. So this is, by the way, Between the Notes. I'm Susie Prez, the host here tonight, and we're live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. We're here with two local songwriters, Pete Hicks and Kevin Doran. And I really appreciate you both coming in. We have a lot more to do. We want to hear more songs. But one of the things that maybe we'll jumpstart the next song, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit, lyrics or melody first? What drives your songs, or can it be either or?
I've had the luck of writing with dozens of people, and so I've got to see how you can have a streamlined perspective. It can be very effective, and how you can just sort of try everything, every different combination together, and then come up or just fight for it, you know, be combining stuff endlessly. Like Pete said, one of his earlier songs, he combined two songs together. For me, like the next song I'd like to perform was a lyrical thing, and it came from a concept of Tony Robbins, I hope. Yeah, Tony Robbins, and he's a life coach. And interesting fact, I guess, hopefully there's fact checkers out there checking everything I say, but interesting fact is that Tony Robbins, I believe, was a life coach for both Donald Trump and for Hillary Clinton, which I find very interesting. I hope somebody can check that.
Okay, we won't get into that.
But. Yeah, no, that's the whole point, is to get away from that with uh-huh. the concept of this song. Tony Robbins said to a couple of the people, and it made an impact in this documentary, some very pointed, straightforward things that maybe a friend or even acquaintance might not say to you, but the profound effect it seemed to have on them inspired me to write this song. It was a particular relationship with this woman and her father. And he said, you know, you're kind of, to paraphrase it, you're kind of the princess. You've been treated as a princess. And so that was a disservice to you. Your father has passed away, and I'm sure he's a wonderful, compassionate guy, but he disserviced you by doing that. And I found that was pretty intense as a viewer, to see somebody actually say something like that almost to a complete stranger. And so that was the essence of this song. And the title is Your Mama Says She Loves You, But She Don't.
Wow, that's a interesting way to approach a song. It sounds really exciting, and we'd love to hear it. So say that title again.
So it's Your Mama Says She Loves You, But She Don't.
Okay.
Yeah, very convoluted intro to this song.
And this is Kevin Doran.
Don't like the crying baby, she's just shutting you out. Man, she's good at doing what she's told. Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is cold? Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is? trying me to say you're wrong. Oh, but those expectations are too high for my voice. I'm just a sinner in a sanctity of hope. Oh, and I thank God for this one last smoke. Your mama says she loves you, but she don't. Oh, and if she really did, yeah, you'd already know. Like the crying baby, she's just shutting you up. Maybe she'd love you if you got tough. Oh, but man, she's good at doing what she's told. Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is cold? Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is tired of singing all day long? Oh, a voice it is warm from the truth of the soul. And I just wanna love you right. I can see that you're worth the fight. Whether you save the world or you don't. Oh, your mama said she loves you, but she don't. Oh, and if she really did, you'd already know. Like the crying baby, she's just shutting you up. Maybe she'd love you if you got tough. Oh, man, she's good at doing what she's told. Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is cold? Does anybody ever tell you that your mama is?
Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's like an idea into a very beautiful and soulful song.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really nice.
First time I played it, so it makes me feel good to hear
that. It's a new
that,
song. It's a beautiful. I mean, that's just the only thing I can say.
Kevin, are you giving that song away on the album?
Yeah,
coming
it's going to be on a record I'm giving out at McDuff's on Saturday.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that. I want to get back to this idea of lyrics or melody first with and explore that a little bit with Pete. But my next question after that would have been, where are you performing? Where can we hear you? And tell us about your musical projects. But actually, let's stick with this idea first, Pete. We'll hear one of your songs, and then we'll go to that.
Right on.
Performing in our community or elsewhere. So for you, same question, basically. I mean, you have a family. When do you get to play music, first of all? You have Curry in a Hurry and
yeah.
All kinds of things going on in your
lots
life.
Lots of hurry.
Four,
lots of hurry in
four
life.
Beautiful little children. But you still find time.
Yeah, you know, with young kids, they go to bed fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, who does a lot harder work than I do, she goes to bed early as well. So I'll stay up for a couple of hours and usually try to get an hour or two of music in. Just it's a great way to kind of stay grounded, and it's like a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel like a discipline.
And it might be that you just play other stuff that you've done, and then sometimes you're working on a song.
Yeah, or just a song comes into my head and I want to figure it out, or, you know, an old and true loved song that I've been playing for 20 years.
And so sometimes people start, I had an interview with Holly McGarry. She started as a very young girl just writing and expressing herself on paper, not thinking it was anything when she was very young. And it turned into the writing and the thoughts became the original kind of beginning of a song. And then she would put melody to that that fit that mood. So how's that for you, Pete?
You know, I think most often for me, it starts with the guitar part, like, because I'll just play around, and I, like Kevin, have not thought of myself very much as a vocalist. I mean, it's more, I'm stretching things more now than I ever have before. But yeah, it starts with the guitar part, and then, you know, sometimes I do have some writings kind of sitting around or an abandoned song that I'll see something and I'll make it fit, and then that can be the start of it. You know, rarely do I get like a complete thought before I start. I, again, just kind of like the journey of seeing where it leads, and often I'm surprised when I'm done, like, oh, I didn't think that's what it was about. But yeah, it just kind of speaks for itself. And so it's a collaboration really with music in a lot of ways, which it just makes itself.
A collaboration within yourself.
Yeah, collaboration with myself. Yeah.
With yourself.
Right. A lot of collaboration.
So do you have a song you'd like to kind of share with us? Another one.
I would love to. So I played this song last time I was on your show in February. And as for a name... It still doesn't have a name.
And that's
progress,
okay.
Eh?
But this was written after I had a good friend come out and visit me, and we spent a lot of time writing music together, talking about music and art. And I felt like it was a very big moment for me, taking another step towards like true enjoyment of the process. I think having done it professionally for a long time, it becomes like, well, this better be good. And so you kind of lose, or I lost a lot of my love for it and collected a lot of fear along the way. And, you know, the visit from my friend and his perspective, some of the exercises that he was doing for his own poetry were really excellent for me. He's like, hey, just sit down and write something every night. Just do anything, record it. And, you know, so we did that for a short time. You know, it is hard to write something every night. But, yeah, it brought about a much more fun way to make music for me, because it's, you know, I mean, in the end, probably not tons of people are going to hear it anyway. So it's really just, if I'm not enjoying it, then it's not really worth doing. So
it sounds like the time with your friends was kind of like a little mini retreat, music retreat, and it kind of renewed your love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of what you're doing.
I'm very grateful for it. Yeah. Very grateful for Kevin as well. He's come alongside of me, you know, having four kids and the different responsibilities. I wouldn't be playing music as much if it wasn't for him. And he's
Thank you kindly, sir.
Hooked me up with some opportunities to play, including Saturday night coming up. So, you know, it's good to get some support.
And we're slowly trying to sneak him into a studio recording situation. So if you know him, pressure him.
It can happen from 9 o'clock to 2 a.m.
2 a.m., exactly.
Well, everywhere you turned, you saw pain. Though light streamed down, laid down a lion's mane, still it rained. Well, still it rained. And all we feel when our money's gone, when our love's in lock, white as bone, turned to stone. Turned to stone. You say you got nowhere to be tonight, with a few short breaths to save your life. Will you ever learn to fight? Or will you wait for the hollow bones to celebrate? And they'll lay you down in cold grave. Find the fool to carry your shame, for the lamb laid down in the lion's mane, no blood to stain, with no blood to stain. Will you say she gave me another remedy? A hand of the plow, eyes cast out to sea, how could it be? How could it be? You say you got nowhere to be tonight, with a few short breaths to save your life. Will you ever learn to fight? For no, we can't wait for the hollow tone to resonate. They'll raise us up once brave,
lights will shine our way on. We'll dance our way into a cool, clear dawn. Oh, we'll rise on gentle hands. Yes, we will rise on gentle hands.
Beautiful. I wanted to say it was had the simple pureness to it that it had a spirit of its own. It might not have a name, but it definitely has a pure spirit and very authentic. And it's good that you're writing songs and singing.
Thank you,
Mr. Yeah, I agree. Pete Hicks.
So you finished that one, huh?
I think so. I think it's done. I think it's done.
Kevin's over here just smiling away while you're playing. And it brought me to a question, and then I want to get to what's going on in your musical projects and stuff. But playing together, because it seems like you've drawn together here and been doing this for a while, a little bit. How has that evolved your own musical expression? Did it? It's kind of a trick question, not trick from me, but it's kind of a deep question. Did it allow you to relax a little bit and find something new in your own process?
I think it's, it is very rare to kind of sit down with somebody and feel a kinship and feel a musicality, appreciation, and as well as being friends. I mean, Kevin's a fantastic person, and I really like being with him. So, you know, any chance we get together, it's great if we get to play music, but it's just great to be together. So there's this, pull and push that brings us together. And you know, we've known each other, what, a year and a half? Year?
Yeah, just something over like a year. That.
And I think, you know, as things progress, it'll just increase, which I'm really looking forward to. And again, like, without much of an idea of what it's going to sound like or look like, it's just going
to
be...
I'm hoping we're going to get to throw a lot of shows together, because anybody who got a chance to go to the Panada to see Partho Sarothi and the Indian classical performance, that was an experience for me that I also got the opportunity to record through Pete. And that's, for me, by far the highest echelon of musicianship that I've ever been able to be associated with. And that was amazing, just to have that opportunity in Sandpoint, Idaho. It kind of shows the spirit of the town here. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the audience made me proud to live here. I mean, you know, it's nice. Very different type of music. And, I mean, they played amazingly, but they fed off of the energy that was in the room from the people in this town. And I was proud to be from Sandpoint.
Yeah, you could hear it in the recording.
Yeah, it's all over the recording. There's an energy that really came through. But, you know, Kevin really came beside me in that as I put that together, because I was just throwing myself at it. One more thing that I didn't have time for. Mm-hmm. And Kevin really stepped up and took on a lot of weight to make that show happen. And I'm very, very grateful to find a partner in that, too, because I want to do more like that.
Mm-hmm. Musical kinship. It sounds like you found a kin with each other. Let's get to, and this, by the way, I'll say it again, is Between the Notes. I'm Susie Prez, your host tonight here at 88.5 KRFY. And we're live in the studio with Kevin Doran and Pete Hicks, and we're talking about music and their personal musical journey as it evolves and hopefully never stops. So you're performing someplace. It's coming up. And what else besides performing? So tell me everything.
Yeah, I got a story to tell, which is I went to school for entertainment business management at a place in Toronto where Prince used to have a studio. I got to absorb a lot of people who were professional, making money, making music. And one of the most influential people was a publicist, and she taught me the lesson that I'm still learning today, which is everything is a story. And if you can make people connect to the story, then they become part of the narrative. And especially today with like the concept of independent musicians and being able to release and make your own records, I have my own studio. everything kind of comes down to how you can bring those people into you. So anyways, my story is that we're going to play together, Pete and I, on November 5th at McDuff's. And I'm trying to bring some attention and raise some funds for an opportunity to go down to Los Angeles and record with a young Canadian producer, actually, in L.A., who has John Mayall on his record label from John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, and also Walter Trout, who's a very famous more recent blues musician. And I've got to raise some funds for that. And it's kind of one of those situations where I think if I can go down there and really just be and let them capture the moment, because I do a lot of recording myself, hopefully some great ears will be able to hear it. And that's kind of up to me how much I put into it. So if anybody's, you know, into supporting musicians, please come see Pete and I. The guys at McDuff's have been really phenomenal with helping us out promoting the show.
And that's on the 5th?
On the 5th, 7:30 doors.
McDuff's. And you get a chance to hear these two fellas in person. And you're going to go down to L.A. And when are you leaving, going down?
I'm kind of riding the coattails of the opportunity. Okay. The producer, he's pretty booked up for the next 2 months. So it's going to be kind of he'll give me a week and a half notice, and I'll have to see if I can get a cheap plane ticket or drive the fastest down and just get it done, take advantage of the opportunity.
So he invited you down because he's heard your music?
Well,
and
I
know of you.
I I was selected for a mentorship through a Canadian Independent Recording Artist Association. The guy who mentored me is a mastering engineer for music, mastering audio engineer, but specifically he's a touring performer in a band called Elliot Brood, that I think would really do well at the festival, just saying. And they open for bands like the Avett Brothers, and they tour festival circuits worldwide. And so he said that this guy, Eric, in L.A. would be a good mix for my sound, and he sort of solicited the communication between us and broke the barrier.
Definitely an opportunity. I think that. Have you heard of GoFundMe?
Oh yeah, I've done one of those before. Oh, it's pretty amazing. It exists, I think.
Yeah. Tell us about your recordings right now that are available and will be available at McDuff's on Friday.
Yeah, they will be. They're part of the tickets, $11 tickets, and you also get a record with it. And that's just because I kind of feel like I don't want to go out to pay to see a lot of shows, so I want to give people as much value as they can from the experience, just because I'm kind of an old Scrooge about going out to see other people's music. So I really want to give them some value, and I've recorded a lot of those in the last year in Sandpoint, and I've collected a lot of equipment from around here, actually, old vintage analog stuff, and done some quick repairs, and there's a track on there that I really like. You Can Drag Me From the Ocean, it's called, and I wrote it going across to Vancouver, and it influenced sort of a feeling in me, and that feeling, just going back to what you were saying earlier about songwriting and sounds, and do you see something projected in your imagination when you write the song? I had the whole sound of this song, how I wanted it to sound on record in my head as soon as I wrote it. And I chased it for about 2.5 years. And I ended up having you send it off to a studio in L.A. that used a compressor called the Beatles compressor, a Fairchild compressor. And that was the sound I was chasing. And a lot of the sounds I'm chasing are vintage sounds from classic rock records and stuff. And those aren't available in digital recording.
Wow, it sounds kind of complicated, but I bet it's really fun. Sounds like you're having fun, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm a geek.
Kevin likes his gear.
Yeah, no question about
that. So you're playing Saturday night, and you're releasing a CD.
Yep.
Sounds like that's what's really happening. And you're trying to raise funds so that you can take advantage of an opportunity that's come to you to go to LA and do some recording.
Exactly. It would be really great if anybody would come out and support both Pete and I, because that means that the guitar amp will stay out of the pawn shop for a little bit longer.
Is there any other way for you to get down there besides, you know?
Oh, I always find a way. You know, I think that's part of the journey, and I'm sure I'll get some great songs out of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, well, I'm just hoping for that people understand that you'll be playing at McDuff's on Saturday night starting at 7:30.
That's at the beer hall.
That's on Cedar Street. And you will have brand new CDs there. And it will help support your efforts to be recorded and collaborate with some people down in L.A. who know what they're doing down there.
A little bit above my head right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it takes just those kind of little booster shots to see what the next step is. And we have some time for, I think we want to hear another song, basically. Who would like to do that? And
I'll kind of take us out, if it's okay, with that song that I sent down to the producer, Eric.
Okay, we still have 10 minutes, so unless you want to do a 10-minute song.
Do you want to take us out, and I'll throw in something now and abbreviate mine? How long?
How about we go mine into yours, and we'll...
Perfect.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
You've got
one mind here.
Okay. Okay. And just so you know, this is Pete Hicks, Kevin Doran, collaborative group. Do you have a name for your duo here?
The duo
we're not
of
that
awesome.
Far along. Yeah,
the duo of awesome.
The duo of awesome.
Oh, I love it. So.
So this one's just E.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got ever a woman, my woman good to me. Every day, yeah, my woman coming home, you see. I said, love the way, oh, your lips they say. Baby, yeah, I love the way. I ain't got ever a woman, my woman. When she come home, I just lead her to her throne. Yeah, I couldn't handle two or three. I ain't got ever a woman. 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 I got the one for me. Baby, say love the way. Oh, your lips, they say. Baby, yeah, I love the way. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah, you could lock me in a room and they might talk me to my doom. Scare the men right out of me. I don't want every woman. 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 I want the one for me. Baby, say love the way. Oh, your lips, they say. Baby, yeah, yeah, I'm in love the way.
That was fun. That was a grooving little song there. Did it have a name, or did you tell us?
Ain't Got Every Woman.
All right. Got that.
John Lee Hooker Boogie. Yeah.
We're going to say good evening and thank you to our guests, and then we're going to have Pete Hicks take us out, but I have a few things to announce first. I want to thank both Kevin Doran and Pete Hicks for coming in tonight and sharing your music and telling us about a lot of cool things. I have to tell you, I have about 10 more questions for you. So we ran out of time.
We'll come back.
You'll have to come back. That's just the way it is. I also want to let our listeners know that all of the Between the Notes interviews are available as a podcast on krfy.org/podcast. And let's see. Also, we stream. So if you have friends and you want them to listen in Timbuktu, tell them to turn us on at krfy.org, and they can stream any of our broadcasting. Also, if you have a friend or you are a musician, singer, songwriter with original tunes and would like to be on this show Between the Notes, give me a call and leave a message at 265-2992, because I know you're out there and I'd love to have you come in. And that's kind of how it is. It's word of mouth, or as you guys have been on before, you called me up and said you wanted to come back on. And once more, we want to mention that you'll be playing on Saturday night at McDuff's. It's kind of a CD release party. And it's also in support of an effort to get to LA and get some really cool professional recording done. With that, I will say, I hope everyone has a good evening. This has been Between the Notes. This is KRFY 88.5. Up next is a song by Pete Hicks, but after that, it will be Audio Jack with Norwester featuring local and regional music. I hope you have a good evening, and thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, Susie, I'm hoping that you'll sing along on this one.
Peer pressure.
There's only three of us. You can't be too much pressure.
Every river flows to the ocean floor. We will find a way, we will roll away, and we'll get back home. Every river flows to the ocean floor. We will find way, we will roll away, and we'll get back home. It's plain to see with you standing right here in front of me. We're stuck in the middle of a raging sea. What could we be now? Could be free. Every river flows to the ocean.
This is your part, Susie.
Every river flows to the sea. Every river flows to the ocean. Every river flows to the sea. Every river flows to the ocean. Every river flows to the sea. Every river flows to the ocean. Every river flows to the sea. Plain to see with you standing right here in front of me. Oh, we're stuck in the middle of a vacancy. What could we be?